Well, the preacher was preaching on Sunday morning when a gentleman in the audience got up right in the middle of his sermon, just walked right out, right in the middle of his lesson. Well, his wife was a little bit embarrassed, and so she went to the preacher afterwards, and she was kind of apologetic about the whole thing, and she said, I hope you don't, you're not offended. I hope you don't think that he was disagreeing with you. She said, he just has the tendency to walk in his sleep. And I hope this morning you know we don't have any sleepwalkers. I'll do my best not to put anybody sleep this morning. You know, there's always been a fine line between influencing people and trying to be noticed by people. To do what we do to influence others, as opposed to trying to be noticed by them, or as we say, be praised by the people. Actions that actually might be very similar yet be completely different. And it comes down to what we all would call our motives, why we do what we do. Why do we do what we do? It's about the intents or the intentions of our hearts, the reasons for why we do what we do. From another angle, there's always been a fine line between being an example before men and receiving praise from men. But yet our Lord in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, let your light shine before men in such a way, Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So you are to do good things before your fellow man. You're to influence people. But it's for the purpose, Jesus said, of glorifying God, right? That you may glorify your Father who is in heaven. Last week, I presented this theme, Living Better in 2018. Because we all want to be better, don't we? And we know that nobody was better than our Lord. The Bible says that. And nobody wanted us to be better examples in this world than our Lord Jesus. More so than we want to be good examples. Jesus wants us to be good examples. We finished our lesson last week and we touched on this topic of influence briefly. And I want to carry it on this morning and talk about this very theme of being better examples in 2018. We all want to be better. Now, I hate to admit this, but looking back when I was growing up, there were times when I looked back at my life in my early years where I had a problem with trying to impress people. Maybe some of you had that problem. Where we did what we did for the purpose of what? Impressing the people so that we would receive some kind of honor or praise back from the people, right? That's a confession now. But impressing people, whether they were our teachers or whether they were our friends, we did what we did in front of our friends because we wanted to be liked. Or maybe it was our coach or somebody that we were trying to impress. And if you were prone to impress, you probably were called a show-off at some time, right? At some point. I'd been called a show-off before. Oh, you're just a show-off. You're showing off, right? Who's the smartest? Well, it wasn't me. I promise you that, okay? But who's the best athlete? Who's the best in choir? Or who's the best student? Or on we would go. Show-offs want to impress people. But servants, they want to impact people. And there's a difference. Do we do what we do to show off? Or are we servants trying to trying to impact the lives of other people. Jesus will reveal this very thing to us, that he wants us to live our lives to impact people, not to impress people. It's about the example and the influence of our actions, why we do what we do. It shouldn't be to impress. It should be to impact. And this is what I think the Bible, I'm going to call it the impact principle. This is just an idea that I was thinking this week with this topic, the impact principle. Simply do what you do for the Father. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Simply do what you do for God. Do what you do for the Father, and when you do this, you'll not only impact the lives of other people around you, the Bible reveals, you will also be rewarded by your Father. Isn't that amazing? Do what you do for the Father, because when you do what you do for the Father's going to do something for you. And Jesus will call it rewarding you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We're going to get to that in just a moment, this idea of being rewarded by the Father. And guess who I learned this from? Not myself. It was from our Lord Jesus. He taught it. Matter of fact, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, right in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. You remember Jesus often had a problem and trouble with the Pharisees and the scribes. No different at this time. They were often trying to test him, right? There's a multitude and a crowd around him. And then we know that they sit down and Jesus teaches probably the greatest lesson that we have recorded, that man has recorded, the Sermon on the Mount. And he says something fascinating right in the middle of it, which I think is probably the key verse of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 20 of chapter 5, where Jesus says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses, goes beyond that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." I'll put it this way. Unless your righteousness is better than the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't enter, he says, the kingdom of heaven. And then you get to chapter 6, and he continues, and he says in verse 1, and this is where we're going to read through verse 18, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." So when you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. That's why they do it, right? Truly, I say to you that they have their reward in full. That is their reward. They've been honored by men. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret what is done, or what is done in secret, will reward you. Follow that pattern right there through this whole teaching. He will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And that's where we find the Lord's Prayer, right? It gives us the themes, the things to pray about. Pray then this way, our Father. He's number one, of course, who is in heaven, separated from all, right? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What do we need? Father, give that to us. Our spiritual needs and our physical needs. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Whenever you fast, don't put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearances so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Tom Wright, who I've mentioned many times, that first century historian, he said that the Jews saw three things as their standard obligation in their life. Standard obligation for living before God. How they were to live before God. And it had to do with these three things that Jesus addresses in Matthew chapter 6. It had to do with, first of all, money, their money. It had to do, second of all, with prayer, when they prayed. And thirdly, it had to do with their fasting. Now, Jesus' point in each one of these, I believe, really is the same. He's addressing what matters the most to God. When it comes to whatever we do, he reveals that what matters most to God is the reason why we do it. The intent of the heart when I do give my money. The intent of my heart when I am praying. The intent of my heart when I am fasting. The motives. What is my motive for doing what I do? You know, if I get up here, and you know, it can be a challenge for anybody that is in the public eye in any way. For a preacher to get up here and to not make it about himself or how he looks or what his delivery is like or what people think of him and his knowledge or whatever. That can be a problem for teachers and preachers. That really what I want to do is I want to reveal how much I know to you. But God is not pleased. I receive my reward in full. We have to be very careful. If I were to get up here and just be concerned about those things, I have the wrong motive. You may not always know that. Probably you never will know that. But God does. You know, the righteousness we understand from the New Testament that the Pharisees and scribes practiced was very formal, wasn't it? It was external. What we would say, it was all about the appearance, how things look. It was all about what other people thought. It had nothing to do with God. It had nothing to do with what God thought or whether he was honored or whether he was glorified. Which that's why they were to do what they were or were supposed to do what they were doing. Their sole purpose wasn't to please God, but to please man. Thomas wrote in great little work on the Sermon on the Mount. It was written years ago. He said the inner intent of the heart was almost entirely lost sight of, insofar as the Pharisees were concerned. Now, if you want to read about really what their problem was, go read chapter 23 of Matthew sometime. That's that section where Jesus over and again, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. He'll give you a list of problems that the Pharisees had. You can also find that also in Luke chapter 18. Jesus wants us to live our lives before people for the purpose of leading the people to bring glory to God. That's why we're to do what we do. He wants the whole world to join into the song that we sing. To God be the glory, great things He has done. But you know what? The Pharisees have rewritten that. To man be the glory, great things I have done. Will you look at the great things I've done? You've met people like that, haven't you? Thomas went on to say, Jesus does not forbid publicity, but rather He forbids the spirit that desires publicity. And there's a difference. We are not to do our good works for the purpose of gaining favor of man, so that we in turn shall receive man's praise. Sometimes men will praise us. That's not wrong either. The Bible talks about that. But we don't do what we do so that men will praise us. If they praise us, they give us honor. That's good. That's okay. But that's not the same as doing what we do for the purpose of being seen by men and then receiving honor and praise because of it. I want us to look at these three standard of obligations for the Jews, not only in Jesus' day, but today it's the same thing for the Jews. They focus on their money in their giving. They focus on their prayer life, their commune with God, and they focus on fasting, those three things. And that's what Jesus mentions in our text today. And it can be seen, first of all, in verse 2 of chapter 6, in the phrase, so when you give. They're giving. This is giving of their alms or giving of their money to the poor. Now remember what the Pharisees were called in Jesus' day. They were called the separate ones. They were supposed to be separated from the rest of the world, which is really interesting to me, because as Christians, we're called saints, which is to be separate, right? To be set apart for the work of God. Kind of interesting, kind of similar, right? They were separate ones, separated from the world, also called hypocrites, which was the idea of a play actor. The plays in Jesus' day, especially the Greek plays, where they would wear a mask and they would play a part of something completely different than their true character. They were the original pretenders. A Pharisee was a pretender. They were pretending one thing, but they were actually something else. And that was exactly what Jesus was addressing. It was a heart issue, wasn't it? It wasn't even what they were doing, was it? It was why they were doing it. Pretending was that they were honoring God, but intending to honor man. Now, what did he mean here under the topic of when you give to the poor? He said, but when you give to the poor, verse 3, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Of course, you have to keep it in the context of what he's saying, right? He's talking about giving to the poor. So whatever that means, it has to do with giving to the poor. And what we do for the poor. And so this whole section deals with that intent and that motivation. Their motivation must be for their love for God. That's why they're giving to the poor. And their desire and their love for the poor, because they want to honor and glorify God. Not because they want the world to see how much change they have, how much money they got, or how large their bank accounts are. It's because of their love for God and their desire to please God. The holiday seasons were just upon us. Let's say you had some money, some extra money, and there was a poor family and you wanted to help that family out, and you did. But then you went around telling everybody what great things you have done. You've received your reward. God is not going to reward that. Those are Jesus' words. God will reward it if we do that with the right heart and motive. When we do those things, as he said, in secret. You see, part of the impact principle, and this to me is the sobering thing to me. God sees my gifts. and your gifts, whatever they are. He sees those things. I don't see yours. You don't see mine. God sees every last one of them. And he somehow rewards those things. Now, don't ask me how he does that, because I don't know. Could it be that in the present he gives you peace of mind because you're doing his will and you have a clear conscience and you know you're doing his will? Sure, that could be part of it. Could it be the future reward that we're going to have with him? Yes, that's a part of it. Could it be everything in between that he does for us? Yes. I don't know what those things are, but Jesus says your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There's no question about it in Jesus' mind. Every gift that is given with the right intent is rewarded. Hold your place in Matthew chapter 6. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. It's a great passage. You want to talk about Jesus being better? Read through Hebrews. Everything about our Lord is better, right? He's got a better sacrifice, a better covenant. He's just flat out better than everything and everyone. And he wants us to be better. He wants us to be better and better every day in our example to others. Notice verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 6. But beloved, and think about this in light of what Jesus has already said in Matthew 6. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you. Things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust. God's not unjust so as to forget your work. And notice the love which you have shown in toward his name. Whatever you do in his name, God doesn't forget. In having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Are you ministering to the saints? What's your motive in ministering to the saints? He'll reward you. Verse 11, and we desire that each of you show the same diligence, continuous effort. Don't get discouraged, church. The devil is after all of us. Have you noticed? If you don't, you're not paying attention. Be diligent. Give continuous effort in your serving and ministering to God. That's what he's saying. To realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, lazy in whatever you're doing in your service, but here it is, impacting. But imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Everything God has promised, and I don't know all that that is. All of his good gifts, we will be rewarded with. Be better examples, and we will do that when we live life to impact, not impress. Here's the second principle of Jesus, and that is the principle of praying. We all pray, don't we? Every day. Somebody said that the Bible is God talking or communicating to us. Our prayer time is us talking with him. They work together. Can't do one and not the other. Do both. It's understood in the phrase in verse 5, again, Jesus said, when you pray. When you pray, here's how it's supposed to be. You see, the Pharisees, their prayer was a prayer of spiritual show-offs, wasn't it? They were spiritually showing off. That's what they were doing. But you know what else? We have to understand that I don't think Jesus is placing an indictment on public prayer. He's not saying that it's wrong to pray in public. It depends on the motive, right? That's what he's saying. The indictment is on the pretending that we're communing and talking to God with the intention of pleasing man and receiving favor from man and honor and praise from man. See, there's three things about the pretender's prayer. Jesus will reveal this too. The scriptures reveal it. Number one, the type of prayer the pretenders prayed. Number two, the reason they prayed and the result of their prayer. You know why the pretenders, the Pharisees, prayed that way? Because they wanted to give lip service. They wanted to please man. Chapter 15 of Matthew, verse 7 and 8. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are so far away from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines, Jesus said, the precepts of men. That's the type of prayer they prayed. The reason the pretenders' prayer was they pretended to pray to be seen and praised by men. The result, they received their reward from man. Their praise was the reward. They received nothing from God. Matter of fact, if we seek to gain the praise of people or of men, we won't have the ear of God. God didn't hear us. God isn't going to reward us. God isn't going to give us what we should desire. So when you pray, Jesus said, pray this way. The next topic that he brings out in their obligation before God is when they fast. First century Jew was a fasting people. Modern day Jews are fasting people. We're not so much fasting people, are we? Maybe you do in private, I don't know. But as a family, as a church, in the body, my experience has been that this isn't really a big thing. Maybe in your circle of influence, it has been. In mine, it has not. But it was a big part of the first century and still is today. And I believe that perhaps we have missed something very vital in fasting. Jesus fasted. What did he do it for? Was it just because that's what they did in that day and it was a cultural thing? I don't believe so. I don't believe so for a minute. Is that why he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? And fasting isn't always 40 days and 40 nights or one day. It could be for one meal. Depends on your reason for doing it. There's many ways that it can be done. What I understand in my study is the Jews actually annually fasted. They annually fasted, but the Pharisees came along and they added days. Okay? Fasting days, from what I understand, there were 2 days that they added. They added a fast on Thursday and they added a fast on Monday. And the reason they added these 2 days of fasting is because they believed those were the days when Moses went up to Sinai to receive the law the second time, the commandments of God, that he went up on a Thursday and he came back down on a Monday. So think about that in the mind of a Jew now, in Jesus' day, as they're gathered around in public places and here come the Pharisees. They've been fasting, right? Their faces are gloomy. They're so hungry. They're so spiritual. Wow. They're being honored by everybody. Look at their gloomy faces. Nobody fasts like a Pharisee does. Great opportunity to show off their righteousness. According to Luke chapter 18, verse 12, you know the story of the Pharisee and the publican? Great story. It says, thus the Pharisee prayed to himself. He trusted in himself. He said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like these people over here, right? I fast twice a week. I give everything that I have, right? Unlike Joel over here who gives 2 pennies, you know. But look at me. I put my whole load in the contribution. Same idea. It's a look at me problem. But fasting was very good when it was done in the right spirit. It was a spiritual discipline is what it was. It wasn't to be a physical thing. It was a spiritual discipline coupled with prayer. Fasting was almost always coupled with prayer when you study it. It was a time of submission. It was a time of humility. It was a time of refocus before God. To deny the lesser things. What are the lesser things? The body. Food. To recenter our thoughts and our hearts and our attention on the greater things, God and eternal things. That's what it was for. A big part of it. And in a society that can hardly go 1 hour without thinking food, right? I know I can't hardly do that. I'm thinking of potluck right now. Wouldn't be so bad for us to do without a little bit, wouldn't it? Denying ourselves of some of the lesser things so that God could reward us with the greater things. I don't know this, but perhaps maybe much of our spiritual lethargy today is in part because of our physical overindulgence. And I'm not just talking food. I'm talking about everything physical in this world. And so fasting was a time to deny all that and to recenter and give our attention in one area. See, food would get in the way. Deny that and focus and refocus on God. The Pharisee, if they were around today, and they were fasting, I think this is perhaps what they would do. I think the Pharisee would give you a play-by-play video on Facebook of their fasting. Right? And it wouldn't be the video that would be wrong, it would be their reason for playing the video. Why are they giving a play-by-play daily fast of what they're doing for God? Because the Pharisee just wants to receive all the likes that he can receive. Or as many shares as he can get. That's the sole purpose of his showing of his fasting. It wasn't because he truly wants to help these people. He wants to honor God and he wants others to learn how to honor God. That would be good and that would be okay. Fasting was about the secret devotion of the heart to God. Devoting your heart to God, not for the public attention of the eyes or the ears or the mouth or praise of people. Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. In such a way as to be noticed by them, right? Otherwise, you have your reward or no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So let's be better examples. Let's work at being better examples every day. Let's work at our intent and our purpose and our motive why we're doing what we're doing. Let us live our lives to impact people, not to impress people. We're going to sing the invitation song. That is our lesson for today. And I hope you'll think about Jesus' words. I hope you'll go back and study these words on your own and pray about these things, that you do what you do, not to be noticed by men, but to glorify God. This is the time of the invitation, and we want to encourage anybody that has needs of prayers. Maybe you need some help in some way, encouragement. Maybe you're ready to put on the truth, obey the truth. Put on Jesus this morning in baptism. Become a child of God. Receive all the spiritual blessings that are promised by God. Whatever those needs are, we just encourage you to come as we stand, as we sing the invitation song. Okay.